Simin Pei Zayin Sif Yud in the middle of the Ramah. Or a keva, the actual stomach of the calf, lefamim molchim oisai, at times they would salt it, umiyavshin oisai, and they would dry it out, v'nasik eitz, and it would become hard like a dried out piece of wood. So basically it would go through some sort of a tanning process that would turn it into a tasteless piece of something, the equivalent of a tasteless piece of wood, umemalan oisai chalav, and people would fill it with milk, mutter. So this milk would not become aser. The me'acher shenis yavesh, since it is properly dried out, havik eitz ba'alma. It actually attains the status of being just like wood. Ve'ein ba'lach luches baser. We say it has no juices, no meat juices left in it anymore that would make it aser. This is the halacha that the Ramah teaches us here, that there was such a practice that people would do such a thing. They would dry out the stomach and they would use it like a, they would basically turn it into a leather pouch, and then they would be able to hold liquids, and one of the liquids they would put in there is milk, and if they did, that milk would not become aser. So the shach over here tells us that this is true not only for the keva, but it's true for all the bnei me'ayim. But l'chatchila, one should not do so. This would be a form of bittul iser, to intentionally dry out the stomach in order to place milk in it. L'chatchila, one should not do that. But if one did, like the Ramah says, it would not become aser. The Primigadim adds over here that this is only true for the bnei me'ayim. However, one may not put meat, one may not dry out meat, and then do the same type of a process and use it to store milk. This would only work for the bnei me'ayim, but not for basar. It doesn't work for regular meat. Another chumrah that the Prima Gadim teaches us is that if one took this bnei me'ayim, which was completely dried out, and they cooked it with milk, that would become asr, then it would become bishul basar b'chalav. The meat would become rejuvenated through the bishul process. The keva, which has the status of meat, would become rejuvenated, and it would become bishul basar b'chalav. Not only that, but even if you kept the milk in this pouch for 24 hours so that it would become kavush, then too, it would rejuvenate the tam of the meat, and again, you would have bishul, it would be the equivalent of basar b'chalav. In that case, it would be basar b'chalav d'rabbanan, but nevertheless, it would be asr. So what is the case then that the Ramah teaches us here that it's mutter? If you can't do, for what practical purpose is it that you're allowed to, that if you put milk in the pouch, it does not become aser? If you can't cook it together and you can't do kavush with it, so what can you do? So the Prima Gadim says, really the only halacha over here is for malicha. If you're be malich, even if the pouch is still salty and you put milk in there, even if it stays in there more than the zman of Kadesh Yitin Alor V'yaschar La'asiach, even if it stays in there for more than 18 minutes, so even up to 23 hours and 59 minutes, it would be mutter. And ordinarily, if it wasn't dried out properly, this would be asr, because since it's salty, it would become asr in the amount of time Kadesh Yitin Alor. And the chiddush over here is that you're allowed to do, well, not, it's b'di'evit, if you do it, it won't become asr. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger tells us over here that, okay, there's a question over here as follows. If you can't l'chatchila dry out a piece of keva, the actual stomach of the calf, if you can't dry it out and add it to milk, so then how is one supposed to make cheese? The practice was, at least in the times of Rikiv Eger, that cheese was made by grinding up the stomach, the keva, or by extracting juices from the or hakeva, and then adding that rennet into a vat of milk, and that's the way one made cheese. So even if you were to say though that the when it is properly dried, if the stomach is properly dried, we see from the Shach that l'chatchila one's not allowed to make cheese this way. One's not allowed to add it. It's only if one did, it wouldn't become aser. So what is the l'chatchila way of making cheese? Now you could ask, so in the times of the Gemara, what did they do? Could be asked the same question. But it seems that in the times of the Gemara, they didn't use the ora keva, they used the milk of the keva. They would take that, like we mentioned in the previous sif, either they would take the karush, or they would take the tzolol, they would take that milk that was in the keva, which had in it the properties, the enzymes, which cause hamada as well, and they would use that to make cheese. However, that was not the procedure in the times of Riki Vager. And it was Meisim B'chol Yoyim that people were using the extract from the keva itself, from the Ora keva. And Riki Vager was bothered, if l'chatchili, you can't be doing this, how come the whole world is making cheese this way? So Riki Vager answers with the following, by saying the following, that which the Shach says, l'chatchili, you can't try out the keva and use it, that's only talking where the keva is not going to be bottled b'shishim. However, if you're going to add such a small amount of keva to the milk that it'll be bottled b'shishim in the milk, then that would be even mutl l'chatchila. So one can properly dry out a keva. One can then either grind it up or extract from it the enzymes, and then one can add that to the milk, provided that it'll be bottled b'shishim in the milk. And the amounts of rennet that are added are such small proportions that they're certainly bottled, so that is not an issue. So that's the l'chatchila way of making cheese, according to Riki Vager. Now the Piskei Tshuva brings from the Chassam Sofer that he was unhappy with this approach, because he said, how are we going to know how much to dry out the keva? We're not bekiyim in the proper ways of drying it out. And he thought, therefore, that one should not rely on this method. I've heard that today it's generally cheeses are usually made with microbial rennet, which does not come from animal source. However, even less than 100 years ago, when cheese was still being made with animal rennet, kosher cheese that is, was made with animal rennet. So I've heard that what they rely on is that they dry it out for 12 months. And if you dry it out 12 months, so then, according to all opinions, that would be properly dried out. We find the Indian of drying things out for 12 months, l'gabei stam yenam, l'gabei the chartzonim and the zogim. We find it l'gabei toloyim, if toloyim are dried out for 12 months. We find in many contexts the concept of being dried out for 12 months, and therefore that was... What I understand is that was the minig as well when it comes to making cheese, is that the cheesemakers would follow Riki Vager and they would dry it out, they would dry out the rennet for 12 months. Now perhaps there are ways of speeding that up as well, like we find in the other context, if you put it into a hot oven, perhaps there are ways to speed up the process and make the equivalent of a 12-month drying in less time. But Chassam Sofer, anyway, he was concerned that one would not be properly drying it out. We wouldn't know exactly how to properly dry out the rennet. So he said that the only way you can do it is you have to create a zev zegorim situation. You have to add the chol of hakeva, which is 100% mutter. That has been like pirsha. There's no problem in adding that. And plus you add rennet that comes from the or hakeva, from the actual stomach, and together. So long as each one does not have, so long as the iser, in this case the ora keva, does not have the ability to do all of the hamada on its own, so that would be considered an example of zev zegorim. We view the two together, the heter and the iser, as causing the hamada, and therefore that would be the l'chatchila way according to Chassam Sofer. There are some other technicalities that the Chassam Sofer has to overcome, and why this isn't an issue, because even though Zev Zegarim is mutter, it's only mutter b'dievid. But one of the interesting things that comes out from this Chassam Sofer is that he's the way in the way the shayla asked him, the shayla, they had to extract the rennet from the stomach, and the way they did it was by soaking the stomach in alcohols. And he's had a question as to whether we should view this extraction as becoming fleishig, and therefore, even though we have this far of zev zegarim, but perhaps perhaps we cannot permit this because it's a mevatel isil chachil, if we were to view this as becoming fleishig. So one of his tzirufim that he adds is that the liquid, this extraction that comes from the keva, is actually considered to be pariv. And the logic of it being that really what we have over here when we extract it is we're having what we'll call tzir. We're having a brine that comes off of this. It's a juice that is extracted from the meat. And the Chassam Sofer says that when you have a juice that's extracted from meat, we're not talking about here about gravy, but we're talking about when I soak the meat in this alcohol and I form this extraction, that is not considered to be meat midaraisa. It would be only have a din of meat midarabanan, but it would not be meat midaraisa. He says the only makar that we have that tzir is aser is from a pasuk of Hatmeim, which teaches us to include even tzir, that tzir of Isser, of Nevela, has a din of Nevela as well, but he says that does not apply to Heter. This has a very important nafkamina, this idea, legabe kosher gelatin. And Ramosha actually borrows from this Chassam Sofer in explaining why kosher gelatin, which is made from the hides of shechted kosher animals, why that gelatin is pariv, and one can make a pudding with milk using kosher gelatin, and it's not an issue of basa b'chalav. So again, since the gelatin, Moshe explains, is considered like an extraction from the hides, it has the din of tzir, and since the hides are only basar midrabanan anyway, they're not actual basar, like we learned earlier in a few sifim ago, that the or of a behema is not also midaraisa to cook with milk. So he says here you have the tzir of the or. So Ramosha says that would be actually 100% part of it. Wouldn't even be basar midrabanan. Just like the way the Chassam Sofer says that the extraction from the keva is basar midrabanan. So an extraction from a hide would not even be basar midrabanan. It would become a completely pariv. And that's one of the tzirufim, one of the svaras Ramosha uses. He has a few other svaras, but that's one of the svaras Ramosha uses to explain why gelatin is pariv, even though it's made from meat, from the hides of the animal. Now, this the issue of drying out the keva. So the Prima Gadim says that the Achronim extrapolate from here, and they use this concept in other cases as well. For example, the Teferis Tzvi says, based on this sugya, that carmine, which is extracted from a bug, where they take bugs and they dry them out, and they become also nisyavish ke'etz. He says there too, and then they grind it up and they use it to make the red color carmine. He says that the same should apply as this Rama, that we should view that as nisyavish ke'etz, and it should become mutter. Again, lechatchila, at the very least, according to the Shach, lechatchila one may not do this, but if it was done, it should become heter. In other words, we would still view this just like we're saying, the meat over here would be still be meat midrabanan. Well, not midrabanan, but it would be aser to mix it together with the milk. Lechatchil would be aser to mix it with milk. So too, perhaps, would be aser to mix the carmine with into your foods. But if it got mixed in, according to the Tiferet Tzvi, it should be mutter, because the carmine was sufficiently dried out, and it should have the din of Nisyavish Keit. Now, the truth is, this is not Pashit, and the Prima Gadim himself points this out, that this is, I'm sorry, the Piskei Tshuva himself points this out, that this is actually, this Tiferet Tzvi is Keneged, the Prima Gadim we mentioned earlier, because the Prima Gadim said before him that this halacha of Nisyavish Keit only applies to the Bnei Mayim. It doesn't even apply to meat, to kosher meat. So certainly, if it doesn't apply to kosher meat, it doesn't apply, it certainly would not apply to insects or to other Dvarim Asurim. The Piskei Tshuva brings that there's actually a three-way machlekes over here. The Prima Gadim holds it only applies to Bnei Mayim, but it does not apply to, it doesn't even apply to meat. However, the Nadi Behuda holds that it applies to Bnei Mayim and it applies to meat. However, it does not apply to Nevela. It would not apply to Yisurim. It would only apply, the Nadi Behuda explains that it takes away the din of Basar from it. It lowers it. It doesn't take off Yisurim, but since the Basar is still Heter, it'll make it that it can't combine with the Milchigs to become Basar B'chalov. And then there's the opinion of the Tiferes Tzvi that it could even apply to Yisurim. So we have three that Yisurim that become the Siavish Ke'etz also lose their identity and they become Heter. So that's the three-way Machlekes over here. The Piskei Tshuva says that you see from the Shach and Siman Kuf Yudalid, L'chayr Araya, to the opinion of the Tiferes Tzvi, because the Shach says that by saffron, if you have a certain type of a spice, where there was a concern that the merchants were adding strands of meat to it in order to adulterate it. And one of the, as far as the Shach says, is that even if they're adding these strands of meat, they're completely dried out, they're nisyavish ke'etz, and therefore it's not a problem. Now, there he's not talking about heter. The merchants that are adding the meat are adding nevela. And even though the nevela is iser, still it sounds from that Shach in Siman Kuf Yudalid that if it's dried out, if it's completely dried out, if it's nisyavish ke'etz, that this heter would apply. But even still, we have here a three-way machlokes. The Prima Gadim says it only applies to Bnei Mayim. The Nadi Behuda says it could apply to Bnei Mayim or to kosher meat. And then we have perhaps the Shach and certainly the Tiferes Tzvi that says that it applies to all Isurim.